Amen. Well, God bless each one of you this morning, and I trust we can be edified together as we look into the Word of God. There was a time in history where everything in the world hinged on one man and his family. If it wasn't for that one man who was faithful, one family that was faithful to God, what would have happened to creation? Let's turn back to Genesis, the book of beginnings. Genesis is the book of beginnings, and we have the account there of how God created the earth and people. And in chapter 3, sin entered the world through listening to the serpent, the devil. And sin entered into the world, and the effects of sin began to be very, very real at that time. So let's go back to creation, which I believe, according to the biblical timeline, we make creation here. That was about 6,000 years ago. And there's people that say it was millions of years ago, but it was 6,000 years ago. That's what the Bible tells us, and that's where it is. Let's begin in chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, let's begin verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. I think it's beautiful how he made male and female and called their name Adam, Mr. and Mrs. Adam. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Let's go down to verse 18 and read in verse 18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 960 years. And 2 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hand nations because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years. And he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Excuse me. We see here, they lived a long time. The people back then, they lived hundreds of years. Can you imagine if we could have that long of a life, what all we could do and what all, how much the world would change in a 500, 800 year, 900 year lifespan. But that was an incredible thing, how long people lived. And we come up to Noah. From Adam, Noah was the 10th generation following Adam. The title of my message here is, As It Was in the Days of Noah. Maybe I'll write that. Well, I'll write it up here. I don't know if this is big enough to read, but as it was in the days of Noah, what can we learn from Noah? What was it like in the time that Noah lived? Is it anything like the days that we are living in? I'm sure there's a lot of things that are different from Noah's time to where we are today. Noah was born about, according to the biblical timeline, about 1,056 years after creation. So about right here, 1,056 years after creation, we'll just put this as zero. About 4,000 BC. So about Noah was born about 1,056 years after creation. And he was the 10th. You had Adam, and then Seth, and then Enos, Cainan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and then Noah. What was it like at the time of Noah? They didn't have any cars or trucks. We're not told they did, or airplanes, or phones, no technology, none of that to worry about, no trains. But mankind, despite all the things that they did not have, mankind still had a wicked heart, and they had lots of evil imaginations. They were very wicked. It was a corrupt time. The world was corrupt, violent, wicked. Mankind was perverse. They had corrupted God's way and God's plan on the earth. One man was faithful to God. He brought his family along to faith in God. Together they built an ark according to God's blueprint to carry them through the greatest flood catastrophe that ever happened. So how do we know that the story of the flood and Noah is true. How do we know that? How do we know it's true? Is there any evidence that it is true? How do we know that the flood is true? Faith. Amen. Yes, we believe it by faith. Any others? There's a lot of evidence in our world today that the flood was true. So the flood was, David wrote about the flood. Isaiah wrote about it. Ezekiel mentioned Noah, Daniel, and Job. Jesus Christ talked about Noah. He talked about it. Paul and Peter wrote about it. It's a historical fact. There's no question that the flood happened. It's throughout the Bible talked about. Let's all turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 17. What was it like before the flood happened? What caused God to repent that he had even made man? Is there any correlation between our world today and the world before the flood? The situation, the state of mankind, was it anything like it is today? Luke 17. Verse 26. Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But in the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. A carelessness, a busyness, a unawareness, a lack of care. We see people today, they often don't want to think about the end. They don't want to think about anything other than their lives and their dreams and their selfishness and what they want to do. Thinking about eternity is uncomfortable. We want to stay busy. We want to stay occupied. We want to stay as busy as possible so we don't have time to think about what's really important. I had to ask myself, am I caught up in that kind of worldly ambition, in too much busyness? Then Matthew chapter 24, it also talks about the same story, or Jesus tells the same account. Matthew 24, we're going to read 34 through 39. Matthew 24, 35 through 39. Matthew 24, 35 through 39. But heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay, let's turn back to Genesis, and what I'd like to do maybe to get us, we're going to maybe just take turns as brothers reading this chapter. Maybe each brother and young man can take a turn. We're going to read down through here, and then we're going to come back through and talk about it and see what we can learn. A few questions that I'm going to have is, who was Noah? Who was this man, Noah? It says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a just man. He was perfect in his generations. He walked with God. He did according to all that God commanded him. He took his family and brought them into the ark. He followed God's instructions. God said, come into the ark. God said, go forth of the ark. At the end, after the flood, Noah built an altar to the Lord. Noah's name is mentioned 53 times in the Bible, although four of those times was talking about a daughter of Zelophehad. Most of the references to Noah are in Genesis. Okay, I'm going to read the first two verses, and then we'll go ahead and Justin can read. Why don't we? Maybe we'll go verse by verse. Maybe we'll go verse by verse. That way we have enough. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Okay, verse 10. And of every living thing of all flesh, two and two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And thou shalt, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it unto thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Thank you for that. Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? That's a question that I had. Why did he? It says in verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor. God looked down and he said, Noah is somebody that I can trust. I can count on him. He's a man that will stand in the gap, that will follow my instructions down to the very detail. Let's talk about the earth back at that time. Then it talks about the sons of God saw the daughters of man and took wives, and I'm not here to spell that all out, what that means, but some people think that it could be, you know, some spiritual beings came down and produced giants. Others propose it might have been the righteous seed marrying unrighteous ladies or women from Cain's line. There was a righteous lineage and then a unrighteous one. It says there were giants in the earth. I was looking at the giants. That word actually means tyrants or warriors, bullies, champions. What I got the picture from the giants being in the earth was people were just very, very selfish. They were very they bullied one another. They would terrorize one another. There was a lot of violence. And it says that the earth was filled with violence. In verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And with that, all in the New Testament, we get the picture that there was a lot of, with that violence, there was also a lot of prosperity in certain areas and a lot of just busyness, and people didn't care about God. And we see today, the day we live in, there's a lot of violence in the earth, isn't there? But with it all, there's also pockets of great prosperity and people loving it up. That's what was happening in the days of Noah. The Lord repented that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Every imagination of the thoughts were only evil continually. The Lord said, I will destroy man. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, let's look at that especially. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. What a beautiful picture. Noah's great-grandfather, Enoch, also walked with God. And God took him. He did not die a natural death on the earth. So mankind sinned. They sinned in a great way. The sin got to the point that God could no longer handle it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We see the wages of sin is death. When we sin, it causes suffering. It causes death, not only to ourselves, but to creation and to even animals and to other people. When we sin, there's consequences. God told Noah, he said, thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. I believe later on it says, actually chapter 7, verse 1, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Okay, then God gave the blueprint for the ark. Ark means a box. The ark was to be kind of like a box. It was made out of, says gopher wood. One of the meanings of that is cypress wood, planks and boards. Okay, the dimensions of the ark, was going to be, I'll just give the, maybe we can give the side view here, just a rough drawing. And then the end view. Okay, so the length of it was, the Bible says, what's the length of it? 300 cubits. They estimate that to be about 450 feet. And the height of it was, how many cubits? What does the Bible say? 30 cubits. That would be about 45 feet high. And then we have the width. It was supposed to be how wide? 50 cubits, around 75 feet wide. So that was the dimensions of the ark. And if you're thinking of a flood and lots of big waves, you need something that's going to be stable and can hold a lot of animals, right? And we see that Noah built it according to all that God commanded him. He followed every instruction. Beautiful picture of Noah just saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Every day, I'm sure God showed him how to do it. It was built in great detail. It talks about rooms in the ark. It gives the picture of nests and pens for the animals. Nesting boxes, maybe for the birds. Pens for the animals. Dwellings for the people. It was to be, it says pitch it within and without with pitch. It was a watertight covering that he was supposed to paint on there. Something that would seal off the water within and without. So that way it would be for sure watertight. and the food. He was supposed to take lots of food along. Noah followed every detail that God told him. Beautiful. And during that time, as people watched Noah build from the area around, it says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching to these people. He was saying, there's a flood coming. There's judgment coming. Turn away from your wickedness. God is going to judge the earth. And nobody listened to him. He was probably building the ark for around 100 years. If we... according to what the Bible says here, probably 100 to 120 years for him building the ark. And it just simply says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Okay, let's go on to chapter 7 and talk a little bit about the actual flood and what happened there. I believe God commanded him to make a door in the ark. And there was only one door in that ark. There wasn't a bunch of entrances, just one door. And all the animals and Noah and his family were to enter through that door. Chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. We get the picture that God was already inside. He said, come inside. Come, Noah. I'm here. Come into the ark. God didn't say, go into the ark and I'll protect you. God said, come into the ark. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain. Verse 4. In chapter 7 here, the chronology is a little bit scrambled up with some of these verses. It talks about coming in, and it rehearses a little bit of the animals that were supposed to come in. And then verse 4. Let's read verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the earth. Thus did Noah according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. God gave very clear instructions to Noah of the animals that were to come in. Clean animals, there were 7 of them. And the unclean animals, it was a male and a female. And I'm not here to go into all the details of how many species there were and how they fit in. What we want to focus on is Noah. And then we're talking also about the flood, but specifically about Noah, his walk with God, his righteousness, his perfection in that day. He obeyed God down to the very detail. God used him in that day that he lived. Let's talk a little bit about the flood and what happened. Noah, it says the Lord shut him in, verse 16. The Lord shut him in. So the Lord sealed the door. It says in the 600th year, verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, so let's, just so we can visualize the timeline of the flood. In the second month, 17th day of the month, that would be February 17, as we would think of it. It may not have been that exact day, but let's think of it as February 17th. The fountains of the great deep broke up and the windows of heaven were opened. And that was an incredible time. Can you imagine the fountains of the great deep, water coming from below, water coming from above? In Genesis chapter 1, I'm not sure what it was. It says that God made the firmament, then he made waters above the firmament. He divided the waters above the firmament with the waters under the firmament. So he had, God put water up there at when he made creation. And I believe a lot of that water during the flood would have rained down. And God also, I believe, put water underneath the ground, because it says that there was no rain. I think in Genesis chapter 2 it says the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth. In fact, Genesis 2 verse 4, these are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. God had an irrigation system that watered the earth. It was perfect. It was beautiful. During the flood, that all changed. And it rained 40 days and 40 nights. The water came from below. It was a very violent time for the earth. Every man and every being that breathed air died. So it rained 40 days and 40 nights. It says it took about, you could read into the passage, it took about 40 days before the waters got up to the ark and began bearing up the ark. Because it says the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark. And it was lifted up above the earth. They began to float. The waters increased, and the waters prevailed and were increased upon the earth, increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. Verse 19, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Genesis 7:23, and every living substance was destroyed upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and all that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. You get the picture that the waters continued to rise and be in a tumultuous state for 150 days. And then reading in verse 8, let's look at Genesis 8 and verse 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The waters began to, things began to calm down. I kind of get the picture that God sent a wind over the earth, and the floodwaters began to calm down. Not as much tumult. They began to calm down. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. The rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. It was a mountain range, a range of hills. Okay, so the flood began on February 17th. July 17th, exactly 5 months later, the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. But interestingly, it took another 2 months, actually another 2.5 months before the tops of the mountains were seen. It says on the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So we could say that as October 1st. Noah looked out and all these peaks of the mountains, they were seeing all these mountaintops coming out of the water. It would have been an amazing, amazing thing to witness. He waited 40 days, so now we're into mid-November. He opens the door. Let me just see what it says here. Okay. He opened the window of the ark, which he had made. So there was a window. He opened that and sent a raven. The raven flew out and just says it went to and fro until the waters were dried up. He sent also a dove from him. And the dove came back to him. He waited another 7 days and sent the dove out again. Another 7 days and sent forth the dove out of the ark. And it came back with an olive leaf in its mouth. So things were already starting to grow. Another 7 days he sent forth the dove, and it returned not to him again. And it came to pass, verse 13, in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, January 1st of the next year, the waters were dried up from the earth. Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. He waited a whole nother month and a half. It says second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. It was safe to go out. Things were at a safe place. So it was a year and 10 days from the time that the flood began until Noah went forth of the ark. Incredible. Verse 15 of chapter 8. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons and thy sons' wives with thee. Verse 18, and Noah went forth, and his sons and his wives, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after his kind, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite every living thing, as I have done, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. God's promise to Noah, never again is he going to flood the earth as he did. God gave that promise with the bow in the cloud. Noah came out to a brand new earth. He and his family were the only people at that time. There was nobody else living on the earth. Let's turn now to 1 Peter to close. Let's turn to 1 Peter 3 and verse 1 to 14. Noah lived in a very wicked time, a time that God said, "It's enough. I'm going to destroy my creation. Man is at such a wicked place." Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He built an ark, and God, through Noah, made so that there could be a new beginning for his creation. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry, 2 Peter. I said that wrong. 2 Peter 3. Second Peter 3, verse 1. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." There's another judgment coming. The next time it's going to be not by water, but by fire. And it's going to destroy the earth, and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. Everything's going to be dissolved. Just like God had created the earth at the beginning with a way to be destroyed by water, so now it says, I believe, in, is it 1 Peter? Reserved unto fire. The exhortation for us is that we would be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Just like Noah was a perfect man and just before God, that we would be found at the same place that Brother Noah was. Am I there? Are you there? Are we there as a congregation? Are we warning others of the judgment that's coming? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He warned the people of the judgment that were coming, they did not listen. Noah's family came into the ark with him. He brought his family along. Nobody else would follow. You think of Noah's sons and the wives they married. Where were the wives' families? They didn't even believe. Noah's daughters-in-law believed and came along. Just like there was one door in the ark, so there is one door that we have to go to be saved. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In order to enter into the door, we have to leave the world behind. To go into the ark, they had to leave everything behind. They had to forsake the old life, the old world, and put all their trust in that ark. We must do the same in order to be saved. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Are we living in those days, in the days of the Son of Man, where the world is wicked, it's waiting to be destroyed by fire? Are we as Noah finding grace? Are we walking with God as Noah was? Are we prepared? Are we preparing an ark? I would like to close with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We have the warning, the same warning that Noah had, of judgment. What did he do? He moved with fear. Are we also moving with fear? Am I moving with fear? Am I motivated by that fear and knowledge of the judgment? Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He made preparations for the coming judgment. Are we preparing? Are we warning others to prepare? Are we getting our families prepared to come with us to escape the judgment? By the which he condemned the world. He condemned the world. The world meant nothing to him. Noah could have said, oh, I don't, you know, this world is so nice. I don't want to go into the ark. I don't want to take the risk. He condemned the world. It didn't mean anything to him. And he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Can we as Noah be perfect and upright in our generation? Can we walk with God? We need to do it, brothers. We must walk with God. We must be in connection with God in order to find grace in the eyes of the Lord as Noah did. We're living in a wicked world. May we condemn the world as Noah did. Cast out the world and enter into that ark. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. In this world and its wickedness, will we be found faithful and just and perfect in our generation? So that was an encouragement for me, and that we can be found faithful for the judgment that's coming. May God bless you all.